Feeling really fly to right now.
It's time for you to earn your stripes, Johnny.
Take the money and run.
That was so hard. You can't die. You cheater. You can't die.
This is a wild game of survival. This is a wild game of
survival. We are live, coming here with a brand new Stir the Pod podcast show. I'm your host Trevor, and tonight we are joined by Andy, how you doing tonight?
What up?
We're also joined by Alex, how you doing tonight?
Yo.
And we are here, episode 9, the whole family back at it again this week. Episode 9 recap show, and let me tell you, this episode was a snooze fest. This episode was one of the most skippable, lost in the sauce EPs in challenge history. I want to go on record saying, like, this episode sucked tonight. Alex, what was your initial thoughts?
I totally agree. My one request for the group, and I know this kind of goes without saying, but I feel like this is one of those where we have to make something out of nothing. We have to, if this is an off the rails pod, it's an off the rails pod. That's fine. Let's get smirky. Let's get off the rails. It's a bad sign when, so as I was watching the end, you know, we wrapped up 10, 15 minutes ago. I was ready to almost like not, had Tori lost the elimination and we would have made no progress, I would have been so mad to go through that 90 minutes that we just sat through and made no progress. So at least we made progress. But at the same time, if that's the bar, that's terrible. Because aside from, you know, Tori getting somebody out and, you know, moving us one person closer to the final, it just like you said, Trev, just a snooze fest.
I mean, honestly, Alex, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Like, we could have done so much more in this 90-minute span if that would have happened. Maybe watch another finale tonight or something, or watch something more important that we all want to talk about and can't really, but, you know, just a thought. Andy, initial thoughts tonight?
I did some Christmas present wrapping during the episode, and I couldn't have picked a better episode to do it. Like, I'm just sitting here wrapping, you know, watching the TV, but I'm just wrapping some presents and looking up. And I'm seeing bullshit with Colleen and Amanal and Olivia. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, who cares? Christmas is, what, 2 weeks away? But I do think Alex made the biggest reference of, we're moving the ball down the field. That's really all that matters here, because nightmare scenario is an episode like this, and we still have a long ways to go.
So. Yeah, but you say moving the ball down the field, like – at what cost, though? I feel like right now this is like Iowa Northwestern moving the ball down.
Yes.
Like, we're just punting back left and right. 8 punts. We're 9 episodes in. We might have had 8 punts already.
Yes. That's all this is. Oh. It's just very slow. We got, you know, a couple pass plays when Jordan first came back, and it's painful. You know, I think the Stir the Pod Twitter account put it perfectly in their tweet for the game day tweet. But
what was your game day tweet?
It was a, you know, wake up, it's game day, and a clown putting on their makeup and a little horn, just thinking like, oh yeah, the challenge is on, knowing it's going to suck and we're going to have to watch it and deal with all this shit.
Well, and to go along with that theme of how slow this season is and everything, I thought for a second when Melissa got eliminated at the end, I was doing the math real quick, and I'm pretty sure that now we are even. We have 8 guys and 8 girls. So I was thinking to myself, like, next week, next episode, would be a perfect time, double elimination. Just cut off one. But then the little preview, if anybody saw the preview, and they said, you know, the 14 time. So it's, I think it's just one person. because I feel like, especially in today's day and age, they would, like, you know, they show everything. So they would have shown a preview where TJ says, this is a double elimination. So unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get one next week, even though right now we finally got the numbers evened up. Would be the perfect time for it.
Well, didn't that just spoil who's coming next week?
I think it could if you actually, like, counted up the seasons, but I don't want to think about it.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, now that we're thinking about it, I mean, there's only...
Well, I mean, 14.
CT or Brad?
CT, Brad, Kara.
Kara's not been on... Laurel has not been on 14.
You got to start factoring in, though, these little spinoffs, because they do count.
Oh, true.
See, I
think it's going to be Brad. It looked like a guy.
I was thinking Durrell.
That's what I mean. I think you could count each season and get a much better guess.
It's not CT. They would say 20 plus seasons.
CT, I think, is the. Yeah.
He's got
Durrell, Brad, Kara. I still don't think Laurel has 14.
Can I just throw something out there as we're talking about the chomps?
Yes.
Can TJ just not always say they're one of the goats? The reason for the acronym GOAT is you are the greatest of all time. Not one of 10. He says it every time. And every time it's just like, really? Is Tori a GOAT?
I think Teach has been on the record saying Anissa was a GOAT.
That sounds right.
I mean, and this is where I think Andy especially has been, like, giving TJ some, like, LVP talk for him slacking and stuff. Is him becoming kind of, you know, lackadaisical now. Like, he's not that old school, like, hates quitters and all that stuff. Yes. Like, I'm not saying Teach has gotten soft, but he's gotten soft.
Yes. Anise is still hanging on that pole in Argentina.
Wasn't that, like, from some scene in, like, The Simpsons or something? I don't know. They all blend together. So yeah, let's dive right in tonight's episode. God, the more I think about tonight's episode, the worse it gets. But initial thoughts, pre-challenge stuff. No streak at all. No streak.
True.
No streak next week either.
Is this the longest?
No. Is this the streakiest non-streak streak?
What I was saying.
Is this now becoming a streak?
A streak of non-streaks. I kind of bolt.
Look how far the challenge has flown.
God, we're nuts. All right.
Wait, before we dive into today's episode, I've got a question I want to pose to Alex because he wasn't on last week's. Do you think we're getting to season 50?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I did hear this debate. I think yes.
No, not counting the spinoffs and all that stuff. Like,
I think this is kind of Andy's main point was if they haven't pulled the plug now, what makes you think they will 7-8 seasons from now?
This being the lowest viewership of all time?
It is, but I don't know. Like, they're just in a weird spot because, like, you know, like, they're going to streaming for the spinoffs. Like, nobody's really watching, like, live TV at all anymore. The ratings are low, but they're also, like, going to new countries and new shows every single season. So they are, like, bringing in new people, which just shows you how many existing people are dropping off. But I don't know. I'm still holding out hope for a good season 40. And I guess there's going to be 9 more seasons between then that get us to 50, but I think it'll happen.
It's like, I don't know what's left in me.
You know what's crazy to think about? When you said 9 seasons, it made me think about this. 9 seasons ago was Dirty 30. Am I the only one in thinking, like, the last 9 seasons are just kind of like a blur?
I think we've been saying that for years. They all just don't say it. I mean, let me go this route with you. I see one in the comment by Mikey the Doctor already. But what do we think what do we think season 50 is going to be? Fresh Meat 3? As Alex always wants.
Stop it. If we don't have Fresh Meat 3 before 50, it's not making it.
Well, I think there's a legitimate chance that season 40 is 40 challengers. What? I mean, these seasons are like 30 plus. I think they might do 40, and who knows? By the time we get to 50, they may just do 25 guys, 25 girls.
Season 40, there's a simple equation. You should literally just call it Rivals 4.0.
I ain't mad at that.
Thank you. I mean, it's not that hard.
I kind of like the idea of just saying it's Fresh Meat 4 and then have everybody think, wait, where was Fresh Meat 3? And then just kind of going back and having to rewatch all the seasons. It's kind of a good marketing move.
God. What would you want, Alex? Battle the X's 3, 4?
For 40?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're gonna do some play on words. Like I can't think of a word that rhymes with 40, like they did with Dirty 30, but I feel like they'll do something like that.
I could see them like doing Doherty 40. Just changing a letter in Dirty.
They use the same equipment, just draw like another X on it. God.
Should we see the challenge?
Do we have to talk about this stupid episode?
I mean, there is a lot of good college basketball on. Speaking of which, one of you guys want to make the announcement for tonight?
We're starting a team?
No.
The Stir the Pot, Bet of the Night. Andy's play of the night was Seattle, San Francisco over 135.5 points. Why that, Andy?
It's just going to be a shootout. It's
going
to be.
Where's that game at? Is it in USF?
San Fran. You know, both West Coast teams, both well rested. Those are very shooter-friendly rims, I don't know. But it feels like it's going to finish, you know, 82-78.
I think one of our good friends was just in San Francisco checking out the boys, right?
Yeah, I was there last week looking at the house that Corey Wharton built.
Oh, yes. Did you go to the Explosion House?
It's totally revamped now. There's like a coffee shop there.
Oh, come on.
It wasn't labeled a historic monument or landmark.
I think they all are.
All right.
13. Oh, wait, Trev, before we dive in, I do want a recap of the bet of the night. I'm pretty sure it's hitting at a 3 wins, 1 loss clip. So $1 million better would be up about $2 million.
And that was your Kelly School business?
$2 million. $2 million.
Good. All right, let's dive right in. Tonight's episode, we've already talked about no streak. And what about the foreshadowing? We kind of saw this little parent alliance. Alex, do you want to hit on the parent alliance?
Yeah, the parent alliance, Aesop and Melissa, because, you know, they both have kids, if you don't already know. which comes up later when Aesop votes are in. Just a very random thing. It was just a classic, like, I don't think these two people have ever talked. And you could tell, not to jump ahead too much, but you could tell Melissa was kind of like using her own kid to her, like, as leverage when she was whispering, saying, you know, don't forget me if it's a girl's day. Like, we have kids. Just like, just such a kind of just a dirty move to pull when like your 3-year-old is just at home not knowing what the world is, and you're just using her as a reason for this, you know, long-haired guy not to vote you in. But that's just how dumb these people are.
Andy, thoughts?
I mean, I think you kind of nailed it there. This surely is not the first time multiple parents have been on a show, but I do think this is the first time we've seen a parent alliance. And it's just like, seriously? It's so counterintuitive because they're going against each other. Like they're not on the same alliances. So if they're both doing it for their kids and Asaf has to vote her off to help himself, in theory, to help his kid, then he already told her what he was going to do from the get-go. And you could say the same thing vice versa.
Yeah. I want to bring up this point, and I think Andy and I hit on it last week. And Alex, you're the challenge historian, so you can correct us if we're wrong. But is Melissa's kid has gone the furthest in the challenge?
Yeah, she's a finalist.
Out of the, if you think about it, like, you know, if Melissa stands straight up and you got the finish line that direction, her stomach with the baby in it would actually be the closest to the finish line.
Like, more so than any other challenge kid?
No.
More so than Melissa.
Season. So the kid would be technically in front of Melissa.
What
I'm getting at, nobody has gone further than Melissa this season, correct?
Has anybody finished second? I feel like is the question then.
I don't think so.
So I think Melissa's kid owns all these people. I'm just spitting a fact. Right?
I think you're right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Moving on. We get a little foreshadowing of, yeah, but they were eliminated fourth. Wasn't Horacio and Olivia eliminated fourth? The good old headshot?
Yes.
Whoa. Can we turn that down, Andy?
What's Honky McGee doing over there?
God.
It should be muted.
All right. Moving on, we get a little of the Emmanuel and Colleen little flirt sesh, whatever. Nothing too crazy there. It's just the classic challenge hookup, even though Emmanuel has literally hooked up with how many girls this season? Is he at four?
I think he's tried four. I think he's tried Kim, Olivia, Raven, and Melissa. And it seems like he's somewhat hooked up with Olivia. I don't think.
What about Raven?
I said Raven.
Yeah, well, he hooked up with her.
Did he?
You think?
Yeah, that's so Raven.
Come on. God.
Yeah, either way, I mean, Horacio's just fishing with a net. It's kind of smirky.
All right, so let's go to the challenge. The daily tonight was kind of three phases. First phase, we'll talk how it was basically unipartner. You would run, you know, let's say 100 meters. You'd pick up a little pole and then bring it back. Or you would take the pole, run it down, put it in your spoke, and then run back. But the twist was you could steal other people's spokes. Well, the one thing I didn't understand is why is there a group of three? Like, what they should have done, listen up, BME, if you want to skip to this point right now, 18:30 on the clock, what we should have done was have one person sit out. They could not be automatically voted in today, but they could be up for elimination during deliberation. That's all you had to do. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think not to skip ahead all three legs here, but obviously the team of three won all three legs. So they won the whole daily. And as I was watching it, I wanted to bring this question up. Like, I don't know if we've ever seen this where a team that has like one extra player, because usually they just gloss over it. Because I feel like most of the time it's when they have, what did we start with today? Like 8-9 teams. Mm-hmm. So like most of the time it's just a numbers game. Like the team that has an extra player has a 10% chance. Yeah, they might not win at all. But I feel like this was one of the only times that I can remember where not only did they win, but they won every single leg. So it is kind of weird to think about the fact that it was the only three-man team. And it wasn't even a particularly like strong three people, right? You had Zaza, Raven, and Asaf, keyboard smash. Like, that's not, I mean, nobody's like shaking in their boots going against those three, but obviously it helps having three people.
Yeah. Well,
I feel like, am I wrong? Like, fellas, am I wrong? Like, has there ever been another chance, another time where they've like said, all right, this, you know, you guys have an extra player and then that team ends up winning? I feel like that doesn't usually happen.
No, it like never happens. And what they should have done, another counter that you could have done, why not add another pull or two in the initial one for them? So it's 7 versus 5, whatever. And then during the second challenge, you have more weight. And I guess in the third one, all is fair. Like, it's a puzzle. Like, I get that's fine, whatever. But it just makes no sense to me. Like, you have three people. That should make it 10 times easier. But what do we know? Andy, thoughts?
It was so dumb. I mean, I don't know how they can overlook, like, hey, in a daily that's very physically demanding, we'll just give one team three and just hope it levels out. Well, guess what? They smoked all three legs of this. Idiots.
So, like we said, the first part was the running, putting the pole down, and then you could steal if you want. My question is, why was nobody stealing any of the poles?
Soft.
Like Kleenex or baby's bottoms?
Don't hurt my feelings.
Say soft.
I don't know. Like, you heard it from a couple teams saying, like, yeah, we've decided we're not going to steal from anybody. And then it seemed like Amon Al was like one of the only people doing it. And it worked. I mean, he made it to the end. But I don't know. It was just dumb. I thought it was going to be one of those where, like, Berna and Amon Al, as, like, a duo island of misfit toys, I thought they were going to be a prime target for people to steal from. And they won.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Let me ask you guys this, because I know we're kind of all over the place for the daily. I do personally like dailies like this, where they are broken out into phases, where it's, you know, three different heats. At each step of the way, a few teams get cut off. I always like that. I think it's always better than cycling through 12 teams, jumping on a rope, on a platform, and some of them fall off. I like this format better. I just feel like they didn't execute it that well. I feel like because of the three-man team, you know, there was a stick theme. Every challenge had a stick in it. And it just, like, it wasn't easy to follow, like, the teams, you know, how well they were doing. I usually like this format. I just think they did a bad job with it.
I'm with you. I like when you kind of see progress of who's winning, who's still left, and then you get down to two or three teams fighting it out for the winner and loser.
Yeah.
I like
the one thing, though, and I think they start off the season and – God knows that time was not an issue because of it tonight, because we could have filled it in. Why are we not seeing the teams drawn? I don't understand that. Like, show me the team. That is
always smart.
It is. There's nothing better than TJ going in, like, reaching in a bag. Oh, Horacio, you're going to be partnered with, drum roll, please, Olivia or whoever. Like, it's that's fun. Show me that. Show me the money.
You got 90 minutes to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're telling me we couldn't have slid that 60 seconds in somewhere. Instead, we get a 5-minute elimination.
Another thing about this challenge that I feel like usually they do when they have, you know, different heats that build up. I you know, they played it up in terms of, you know, showing your cards. Like, the winning team has to make a decision. I would have liked it better if it was just, instead of, like, first heat, for example, the last place team was out and then the winner picked two other teams. I would have liked that the last three teams were just out. Get rid of it. You don't need, like, them to make a decision at each step of the way. Just get rid of the last three. It makes it more competitive as opposed to, you know, who is this team going for? Like, I got to show my cards and, you know, Melissa threw a drink at me. It's just like, just make it about the competition.
I agree. I think the challenge has just lost its, like, hey, let's just play the game straight up. when it comes to these things. Like, let's not try to get too creative and just blow shit up. Like, stick to what works. And it just blows my mind that they always want to do something new, always got to do something different, when in reality, nobody wants that. But
agreed. They get in their own way. And they've done it so many times. Just roll this out and say, the winner wins and the losers lose, period.
So moving on after step one, step two was just picking up weights and just carrying it across. Pretty stupid. All you had to do for the group of three, because they have three people versus two, is add another plate or two plates to it to make it a little harder. Not that difficult. Of course, that group's going to win. And then they got to save one group, which was the Berna and Asaf, right?
Yeah. No, Berna and Amana.
Yes. Which I think that was a smart pick on their play, because Berna was like looking like Reece James with her hamstring or something.
Watch it.
So, down goes Andy. So
they win and have to pick a female.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, we didn't even talk about three yet.
Do we need to?
Nah, let's just skip it. All right, so they got to pick a female. Dun, dun, dun. Alex, who'd they go with?
They went with Melissa.
Who?
Melissa all by herself without Big T. And so now the parent alliance that we foreshadowed earlier is just crumbling. The parent alliance that they told us for the first time tonight, 25 minutes later, is now just completely falling apart. Kylan's stepping in there. They're pointing fingers, you know, talking about each other's moms for some reason. And then we cut to commercial. But all of that results in getting Melissa and a female, because it was basically who was the girl that won the elimination? Who beat Kaz? Big T?
Yes.
She's not even here anymore. But Big T beating Kaz has thrown off the numbers. So TJ decided that they needed to do a girls elimination back-to-back to even out the numbers. So they voted Melissa.
Yes. Honestly, really no surprise. Melissa's head's been on the guillotine all season.
Jeez.
So then what? Go back to the house and go to the club?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically all we got. I mean, there was a little drama with just kind of people, you know, flirting around. And what was I going to say? I think that was it, right? It was just kind of the club scene where Emmanuel was flirting with Olivia and Raven. And that's so crazy. Like, it's just,
it's chaos.
It's just chaos. Like, I mean, doesn't he have a girlfriend at home too?
Yes.
So besides the four people he's tried to hook up with, he has five with his girlfriend back home.
Yes.
I mean, and this brings back our tweet earlier. Is this the most hateable males cast list of all time? Like, besides, yes, Ed from the Circle and Horacio, who's cool? Like, oh, I like that person. Like, just like. I think Callum Wilson is kind of smirky, but also, I don't know if it's just smirky because he has, like, the, or not Callum, Kylan, excuse me. The cut on his eyebrow where he just
no, Kylan's a pussy.
But I just think it's kind of smirk, like he's trying to act tough. Oh, let's go back and talk about the little Kylan versus Asaf little beef there, where Asaf was doing the backflip. How did we forget about this? When they won and he was doing the little like backflips. It's like, what are we doing?
Oh. It was ridiculous. Act like you've been there before, buddy.
I mean, Mikey the Doctor puts it perfectly in the chat, asking how did Asaf go from hooking up with Nani and going home episode one to thinking he runs the entire house these days. He's been on one challenge episode before this season. Got sent home right away.
Like I said, this has to be the most hateable cast list to date.
Can I throw out a quote from Amon Al? This was, again, I always bulge at quotes where it's like you hear it and you're like, really? And then I just have to jot it down to bring up here. So going into the second part of the daily when they're pulling the sleds. Okay, so again, pretty simple. You just pull a sled back and forth. That's it. Amon Al, I shit you not, goes to confessional and says, in his accent, I am going to pull this sled as hard as I can. We cannot lose. We must stay in the game.
That's so fake.
Why the fuck was that shown? Like, it cracks me up, but pisses me off when the challenge does stuff like that where it's like, duh. Like, do you think that's groundbreaking or something?
Mikey the Doctor writes, if Fezzi was on the season, would you have liked him, Andy?
No. He's bottom of every list.
Why isn't Fezzi on the season? He's not a champ.
He doesn't have the ratings.
Oh, come on.
He doesn't have the ratings.
God.
At least Kylan,
my man, has the ratings.
You know, Kylan's, I think he's got a good group of about 10 friends who all promised they would tune into every episode. Mm-hmm. Fezzi doesn't even have that poll.
He's got Josh tuning in.
God. Remember when they got in that huge fight, Josh and Fezzi?
Wasn't
frozen pizza?
Yes.
Wasn't it one of their birthdays? Wasn't it a birthday party for Josh or something like that?
Dude, Fezzi gets so worked up. Everybody's in his head. Especially, I've never seen Fezzi get more upset than when Alex called him out and like he just went off on Alex.
On the cameo, yeah. I had him shaking in his puss in boots.
I mean, seriously. I was worried for Fezzi. Alex and Fezzi just don't mesh together. I know Alex was the first person on that train. Like, I don't know.
You know me.
Dumb.
What? You good? Aren't you a Fezzi fan? Did you go to Fezzi Festival?
Festival.
God. So we go to the club. I mean, the club just sucks these days. There's just nothing going on. And then we kind of see Mariah. I think that's when we get our first little like Mariah and James thing. I think she talks with Olivia about her scenarios, like, oh, I just got to move on, blah blah blah, from Johnny, which was a little hint, and we'll get into it later on when Tori comes back, spoilers. But then we go to a deliberation. Colleen makes her last plead, but it's just not enough. Colleen ultimately gets voted in. Initial thoughts on that, because I think that was a stupid play. Like, Mariah has been the shadiest person this season, female. Like, who's she working with? Nobody knows. Like, she'll just go with the group. You good?
30-second timeout. Champs versus All-Stars or whatever. Wasn't there a gay Olympian named Gus
Kenningworth?
Yes. They're doing his cribs right now.
Oh, come on. I mean, that's just ridiculousness.
I wish.
Yeah.
Is he more advanced in the challenge than all these jokesters that we're talking about right now?
I think Gus has a ring. God. All right, we back. Are we timed back in now?
I'm in. You're making a good point.
Time out.
Wait, what was your point, Trev?
I was going to say, I thought Mariah should have been voted in. I don't know why Colleen was. Mariah's played a double-sided game.
I agree. I just feel like it's one of those situations where they're all just going with the herd. It's kind of Michelle, Maurice, Olivia, Jay is pulling the puppet strings. Corey, somehow, even though he has exposed himself to everybody, is still like a part of that alliance, I guess. And they kind of have the numbers. And one of the thoughts that I had, they did a couple scenes about Colleen, you know, kind of breaking down when she was, I don't know if it was about to get voted in or afterwards. She was talking about how she was part of that alliance, which I never thought to be the case. I always was wondering who the hell is Colleen working with at all. She kind of has just been on her own. Melissa and Big T were obviously on their own. Now it's just Melissa, Berna. I don't know who Berna's working with. So, like, why are Berna, Melissa, and Colleen not trying to, like, band together some other alliance? Zaza is part of the Nerys Olivia alliance. Like, none of it really just makes sense to me.
Oh, it makes no sense. These people are so stupid. They could get numbers and they just won't do it.
Well, and it's, and they kind of talked about, wait, we talked about this last week, and it was Mariah who was the one wanting to shake things up. And then it ended up putting a target on her back. And that target, alongside all this shit with James and playing both sides, still gets overlooked. And they still just think, oh, let's just get rid of Colleen. They're all just idiots and they're soft. And another thing is, and we'll probably get into it, but you've got, if this is how you're going to structure the elimination and the pot and everything, it needs to be 25 grand that they lose, not 10. Because 10 grand is not worth it. It's like they don't care that they're going home. They have no incentive to actually win the elimination. Whereas if it was 25 grand and they've now lost 100 grand, then it's a whole different story.
I mean, 25K is a lot of money to lose. These, they would have negative. They would owe money to the show by the end of it.
Are they ever going to?
You owe me money now.
Are they ever going to have a chance to, like, make back any of this money?
I think part three has to be, right? What is part three? Control?
Conquest?
Control, chaos, conquest. Yeah. I think they have to, right? Because right now, spoilers, out of five people, they're 4-1, the champs. And wasn't the over under 4.5?
Aren't they down to 360K?
Who's paying for this shit? Dude, that money is going. There's no way the winner gets more than $500,000.
Well, no. And again, in one of their like previews of like the whole season preview, it said competing for $500,000.
God.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? We talked about it on here.
Did we?
Maybe it was me and Alex. I think you were gone that week, but whoa, they literally said like 18.
Where'd he go?
Dumb. They said like 18 contestants fighting for $500,000. Like very right. Black and white. MTV said that on one of their little previews. So what are we doing this shit for?
God. All right. Well, like we said, Colleen gets voted in. And we have Colleen and Melissa down on the killing floor. And who comes out tonight? Who's the chomp, the goat, according to TJ? And it's Tori, which Tori is a very good competitor. I was going to say great. I changed it last minute. She's a good competitor. She's not a great competitor.
She's a goat.
No, she's not. Goat talk, you need to be within the top three. Like male challengers, if we're talking goat talk, It's bananas, Jordan, CT. Nobody else can even come close to that goat talk. You look at the females, it's who? Emily, it's Coral, it's who else?
Laura.
Okay, that's fine. Those four, that's fine. I'm good with that. Like, we're not counting 15 people like we talked about earlier tonight. Like, Tori is good. She is not a goat.
Not even close.
Who's okay? Here's something.
What is something?
Here's something. Who's more, according to TJ, who's more of a goat, Cam or Tori?
Easy answer, Trev. They're both goats.
Oh, come on.
That's TJ's answer.
God, power rankings. Who's higher?
It has to be Tori.
Yeah, I think Tori has more seasons on her, but if I were to pick up a better competitor, I don't know if I would pick Tori.
Has Cam won?
Yeah, no, she should have been on this season.
Wait, I thought she won.
She could have joined the Parent Alliance.
He hasn't won.
God. Wait, Leroy should have been on this season.
Leroy Jr.
Dude, Leroy would run circles around this group. God. All right. So Tori comes down, and then we have her pull out the little sledgehammer thing. Very January 5th, 6th-esque with us coming soon. Secret Alliance. $1. Did Alex freeze? On it? Oh, there he is. So Tori pulls Melissa's name, and Melissa versus Tori. And something I don't think we've ever seen before. Something we've never seen before. An underwater puzzle. Ooh, underwater puzzle. Scary. But yeah, a puzzle elimination. What else is new? Thoughts?
I don't know. It sucked. It was so dumb. Melissa was freaking out. I think this would have been actually a pretty hard challenge because it did require swimming and treading water and thinking, and like it was not easy. But I have to disagree with you, Trev. I know you always really love the puzzles on this show.
Stop.
I'm just done with it.
Come on. Get the fuck out of here.
It's so annoying. It's just puzzle galore. I'm sure Alex would back me up too, how Trevor's always talking about
more puzzles.
But it's just gotten out of control.
I'm done. We had two puzzles tonight. That was an LVP I gave 2 weeks ago.
It sounded like Trev was just asking for more puzzles, which is very expected from him.
Yes.
I'm done.
This elimination, it did remind me, somebody in the chat's got to back me up here. This is basically the elimination from Battle of the Seasons where Big Easy quit and Camilla was like screaming and cussing him out. It was basically that, but combined into just one person on the team. Because I think it was some, it was like this. It was a puzzle, a big water tank. You could go underwater, you could solve it, but then you have to come back up. That's what it reminded me of. I got those vibes. Camilla yelling at Big Easy. Big Easy obviously couldn't take it, but I mean, just a move the chains elimination, a puzzle, a tank, a key. You got to match up. We've seen it a million times.
Yeah, I mean, can't we get a pull wrestle? Can't we get a hall brawl? Why are we doing another puzzle?
I mean, like I've always said, I could do pull wrestle every single
time. Done. I'm done with this shit. God. All right, anything else from tonight's episode? We had another challenger go down. Melissa loses. Gives Kylan, my man, a nice little kiss goodbye. And then, yeah, we ride off into the sunset. Tej not happy that we've already lost 40K. Probably going to lose another 40K here shortly. So What were you gonna say, Alex? It looked like.
Well, I know we touched on bananas a little bit earlier, but what about Tori telling Mariah that bananas already knows?
Ooh, highlight of the episode for me.
So what? Yeah, unfortunately. So what's the timeline of events? Devin comes here, does the elimination, comes back home, tells Tori.
Mm-mm.
No.
What do you think, Trev? Because I've got a different thought.
I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, we all know Banana literally plants seeds into the challenge producers, and the producers wanted to stir the pot up, and they let him know. They're probably sharing the footage.
Bananas has guys. All of Judah Murray, those are Bananas' boys.
I know we joke with this, you know, me and Andy pulling the strings on Alex, but, like, dude, Bananas, he's like the Illuminati. He's this when we're like this, but, like, it's nuts.
Oh, yeah. He's got the inside scoop at all times.
God. Well, makes the one phone call.
The most unrealistic part of it was when Tori, I think, used the word heartbroken to describe Bananas upon hearing Mariah's news. There's just – I think I said this before. Like, Bananas hears that Mariah is hooking up with a guy named James, and he's just like, who the hell is Mariah?
I mean, are we really that surprised?
Bananas, season 40?
Oh, Rivals for Mariah?
I think Bananas has to be on 40, right?
Isn't he 40 years old?
So is CT.
No, CT's like big CT's like 50. God.
Oh, Bananas is 41.
Told you.
What's
CT's older than him?
Yeah, he's 44, I think.
44. Mariah's 27.
Good for Bananas.
15 years younger.
Good for Bananas.
What a legend.
I mean, think about this. Bananas was partying it up, what, at Penn State? No, he didn't go to Penn State. Where'd he go?
I thought Penn State.
It was Penn State? He was partying it up at Penn State, and she was still in diapers.
Too far.
I'm just spitting facts.
God. Tee this man up.
That is what you, Andy, always say. TMO.
Yes.
God. Very interesante. Anything else? I mean, just the fact that Bananas runs the show without even being on the show. And that's why he is the GOAT. You don't hear the CT talk like Bananas. I mean, Bananas is the most relevant thing out of anybody right now.
But, Trev, wasn't it just a couple weeks ago you were saying Jordan's the new GOAT?
God, I have a lot of GOATs. Everybody's my GOATs.
Is it Trev or TJ?
God. No, I've made it very clear tonight. There are three GOATs.
No, then it's not a goat.
Okay, you want the true goat. The true goat is Bananas.
Yes. The greatest of all time, not greatest.
Okay. Well, there's multiple goats. You got Bananas, you got Brady. I mean, they're just respectively goats in different areas. So,
seven rings each.
I think Mikey the Doctor brings out a good point. Ed from the Circle's a goat. I know me and Andy were big on that when he first came out. He
bought stock early.
I mean, that was one of the GOAT entrances of all time. You know, people talk about big entrances like The Undertaker walking out in WWE or Stone Cold. Ed from the Circle busting through that door. I mean, that's all time right there.
Well, what was his entrance like, though?
God, it was crickets. It was awesome. They're like, who the fuck is this guy? It was literally like that Jimmy Tatro gif of like, what the fuck is that? Which is a great Christmas. If anybody wants a good YouTube video, what was it? Another holiday. What is it, Alex? Another holiday video or something like that, is it called?
Another holiday commercial, I think.
Commercial. Another holiday commercial on YouTube. Watch that. Good holiday spirit. Good vibes. Great video. So, yep. Anything else from tonight's episode before we get into some segments? I'll take that as a no. All right, what do we got? I think we have Alex segment, Champ Change. Isn't that your segment? Yeah, isn't that your segment?
That's my segment.
It's yours, right, Alex?
Yes. All
right. Chomp change.
So what champ would you guys bring in for this episode?
For the underwater one? Define the term champ.
Champ. Not okay. Anissa.
Well, now we're getting low on the remaining champs that we can choose from.
Yes.
I think we open the floodgate to all champs. Like true champ champs. No bullshit spinoffs, champ champs.
Okay. So who's your pick? Jordan?
My pick is Gus. I'm just kidding.
Gus.
I don't know. I like I think Kara would be really good at this one. I know she's on, still has to come.
I think if we're going guys and girls.
I think Sarah Rice is a sneaky one too, as the puzzle queen. Did she lose to Jasmine and John A?
Yes. She had Biddleman as her teammate, I think. I think if you're going guys or girls for this elimination, as much as I would hate to say it, and I'm actually not going to say it, but there's someone I'm thinking of with red hair,
really
ugly, always claimed to be a swimmer. I don't remember his name, but he'd probably
wait, he's your boy, Weston Bergman? Oh, you love Wes.
I don't know. Who are you talking about?
God. Well, I was thinking Wes. Alex, I think, was thinking Kenny. Isn't that your guy you were thinking about?
Kenny and Wes are both my guys.
Yeah. I was going to say. I don't know how well Kenny would be because I think he would be too big. He's too muscular to fit in that thing.
What about – could Anissa do this?
I mean, to be fair, I think she'd be pretty good because the water would come out. So,
great question by Mickey the Doctor. Where's Adam Meadows been?
Oh, he's been in the Redemption House with Kenny. They're rifling through the Sopranos.
God, with Kenny. Scubanelli? Sorry, I saw the chat. I love Scubanelli. Alex, who was your pick, honestly?
I think Wes is a pretty good pick.
I think so too. And then who is your female? I said Kara. I think Kara would be really good at this one. I know she's not. The funny thing is she's not the best swimmer, but you don't need to be. I feel like I didn't think those.
No, it's not really swimming.
You're just in water.
Well, yeah, I would go Laurel.
Okay.
I would go Laurel.
Okay, cool. Next segment tonight, what do we got, Alex? Do we have any radar watch? Do we have this day in challenge history?
Yeah, quick trivia question for this day in challenge history. First one to get this right gets a free cookie. The question is Battle of the Sexes 2.
Cowboy cookie?
2004, 19 years ago. What female got eliminated?
Anissa.
No.
What season?
Battle of the Sexes 2. It's somebody that we all know.
Jen. Kellyanne.
Ooh, fancy.
It's somebody that's been on the challenge at max within the last 5 years.
Have they ever won a ring?
Yes.
Ooh.
I think Trev's given zero guesses so far.
I know. I haven't.
Not good numbers wise.
Is it that short chick?
No, it's Veronica.
Trev got it.
Wait, is that one, baby? I think that's who I was thinking of. Isn't that her name?
Trev, no. And I think Mikey the doctor got it.
You think Camilla?
Watch it. She was the one who was in the who had that like threesome in the bathtub with Abe, right? People forget that.
Yes.
Alex, wait. She was the one that had the threesome in the bathroom with Abe, right?
And she, believe it or not, I'm not kidding when I say this. Veronica was on last season.
No, she was not.
She was on last season.
On what? Like All-Star?
A job.
She was with Darrell.
Like, as like mercenaries?
Shut up. The most recent fully finished season Veronica was on.
Like, you what? Like a flashback?
I'm out.
All right, let's get back.
You don't get the cookie.
No, cowboy cookie.
Or send it to Mikey the doctor. Mikey the doctor, send your address. We'll send you a cookie.
God. All right, MVP, LVP time.
Let's do it.
All right, you guys know what to do. First order we get tonight will be the MVP, LVP order. Honestly, MVP tonight is going to be it's going to be pretty difficult, I think. LVP could go a lot of different directions.
I agree.
Yeah, MVP.
I don't really want to give an MVP.
Trev, I think we're almost in full limbo.
We're on what full limbo?
We're almost in full limbo.
Oh, God. I don't like that.
I know.
We're losing $1 million tonight? Oh, you're saying the show. I thought you meant the stir of the prop bet of the night.
No, I'm talking about Inception.
I know. I got the limbo joke now.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, I'm still waking up from my last dream, but like, God. I think we're in limbo. I think that's why this podcast tonight, we've just been losing it because
we even talked about this episode.
God, it's just all a blur.
All right. We got the order.
All right. Alex, Trev, Andy. Alex, you weren't here last week. Take it away. MVP.
Yeah. Like you said, Trev, I don't think there's a lot of great MVP candidates for tonight, just in terms of, you know, how the episode played out. So I was starting to brainstorm earlier outside the box picks to go to. My pick for tonight is going to be something that was very prevalent tonight and has sort of been a theme all season. It's not a challenger. It's not a person. My MVP for tonight, I'm going to go with cleavage.
Interesting.
It's just been on full force all season. You got Nerisse, Mariah, Colleen was a big one tonight, Melissa, Olivia. It's just everywhere you look, there's cleavage of some sort. So I'm going to go, my MVP tonight is going to be cleavage.
Colleen was coming out hot.
Yes.
I think Colleen had one of the best episodes of the year. Like, I think she's had more words tonight than the entire season combined.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, my MVP tonight is not Colleen. It is Johnny Bananas. I mean, come on. The fact that this man was on this episode, didn't even get FaceTime. And we talked, I think we talked more about Bananas tonight than the show. Like, literally, and that's why he's the GOAT. He's literally still a part of the show when he's not a part of the show. Stirring the Pot, the king. One of the reasons why we named this podcast Stirring the Pot. And I think we literally stole his logo with the t-shirt. So don't sue us, Johnny. We love you. And we'll go with that. So
good pick. Okay. Well, I'm not going to follow suit and pick somebody who's not on the season regularly. My MVP for tonight's going to be Tori. A little reversal there. Shyamalan twist. She's awesome. She was like one of the highlights of this episode. Everyone else just really, really sucks. Like all of the bottom tier players are shaking in their boots. All the top tier players are playing a ridiculously soft game. Tori comes on for a cup of coffee, smacks Melissa around a little bit, wins 10K, and then gets out of here. So it's my MVP. My LVP is going to be Asaf. Just because, I mean, I got a couple of reasons, but first and foremost, I just really hate him. He sucks. He's not entertaining. When he's on the screen, I just get annoyed. He turned on the Parent Alliance. He won a daily and made it seem like he won a Super Bowl. He started fighting with Kylan because he wasn't listening. Like, Kylan made no reference to his mom. And he's like, say one more thing about my mom. Buddy, I didn't say anything about your mom. He's just an idiot, and I hate him, and I think he sucks.
Okay. My pick tonight is just something that anytime you get two of them in one episode, it's going to be an automatic LVP for me. And it's puzzles. I mean, give me a fucking break. How many puzzles do we need tonight? I mean, we end it like the final of the daily is a puzzle. And then an elimination where, oh, it's underwater and it's a puzzle. Scary. Ooh, like, give me a fucking break. Enough of the puzzles. We don't want to see them. The end.
This was LVP, not MVP, Trev.
Enough.
My LVP, I'm going to go with Mariah. Ooh. And I know that that's kind of contradictory because my MVP was Cleavage, but I'm going LVP is Mariah just because she's just kind of just not playing a good game. She hasn't been for a while, and the opportunity for her to play a good game is right in front of her. Just like maybe not hook up with the guy that who was colored green for the Hulk a few episodes ago. Like, just stick with your alliance. She's, you know, drawing a target on her back and two targets on her front. She would be doing a lot of other things besides what she's been doing. And I just think she's just played a pretty bad game. She's crying, you know, because of just like a one comment that Tori tells her. So I'm just going LVP is Mariah. Just a bad showing tonight.
Well, and I think your MVP and LVP actually do work hand in hand because all season Mariah has worn next to nothing. She's been the queen of cleavage, if you will. And this episode, she just dropped the ball. And Colleen was just like, all right, fine. Like, you got it. You got to stay on your game. Otherwise, you lose it.
That's true.
Good pick. Good pick. Anything else? Honorable mentions? I think Colleen deserves an MVP honorable mention tonight, getting some airtime.
I was going to say another one too. LVP, Melissa, just because mm-hmm. she's just been on by herself the whole time, and she, compared to 90% of this cast, is a veteran. And like we said before, her kid has made a final before, so she just has nothing going for her.
I think honorable mention LVP, just another showing from Adam Meadows not being in the chat.
I did
respectful at this point, but
I also wanted to throw Kylan's name out there.
My man, why?
He's a huge little bitch. He was trying to act like he was tough against Asaf. Asaf didn't know what he was doing. They're both just idiots. And then Melissa loses and she just runs off the set. And then he's like hustling down the steps. Melissa, wait. Fucking pussy.
He sucks. Damn.
Come on. Is it the sweater? Is that why you guys don't like him?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else from tonight's episode? No. I mean, we're just, as Alex always said, comparing it to Inception, we're in limbo right now. And it's just, I don't know if we'll ever get out of it. This all just blends together. You know, I'm spinning my dial right now and it's still spinning. So I don't know if that's a good sign or bad sign. What is Alex showing? A commercial?
Is that BK?
BK.
Happy
you rule. Housekeeping notes. Next week, I think it's going to be 50-50 if we're going to be live, honestly. I know two out of the three of us have something, but we're going to try to make it work. We'll figure it out. Andy might be doing a solo pod. Who knows? We'll see. So we'll see if Andy's really all in.
I you know what? I'll put it on the record. I'll put it out to the AWLs. If I have to do a solo pod, I will do a solo pod. It will be no more than 5 minutes.
Oh, come on. God. All right. Well, with that being said, thank you guys for listening to a brand new Stir the Pod podcast show. I've been your host, Trevor. You can follow us on Twitter at Stir the Pod. You can follow us on Instagram at Sir_the_pod. Thank you guys. Love you guys. Shout out Duffy. Watch the STP Better Than Night. Bye-bye.
Love you.